We'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is that part of the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavat Purana where all the pastimes of Krishna are described there. 90 chapters simply dedicated to Lord Krishna. Oftentimes, on this occasion, we read from Bhagavad Gita, from chapter 4. Perhaps you would be familiar with those verses, yada yada hi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutanam adharmasya, tadatmanam srijamyaham. That's chapter 4, verse 7. Krishna is saying, yada yada hi dharmasya. Wherever and whenever there's a decline in religious practice and a prominent rise of irreligion, then Srijami Aham, I appear myself. Then the next verse, chapter 4, verse 8, Krishna says, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants and to re-establish the principles of religion, then Krishna says, I advent myself yuge yuge, yuga after yuga, or millennium after millennium. Yes, now is the Kali Yuga, this time that we're in now. Not a very good time. It's described as the worst of the four yugas. So Krishna, he appeared at the end of the previous yuga, Dwarpara Yuga, right at the end. And in fact, this Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga, which we're in right now, it began the minute, the instant even, that Lord Krishna left this planet and returned to his own abode, Goloka Vrindavan. So those verses are very well known, and we oftentimes read those verses. In fact, last night we had a festival at Shalcross. It was very nice, and we read those verses. Plus, the following verse, chapter 4, verse 9, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktvadeham punara janma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who understands that janma karma cha me divyam, my janma, my birth, and my karma, my activities, are divyam, divine, transcendental. Then such person, they don't take birth again in this material world. But mam eti, they come to me, Krishna says. That means in that Goloka Vrindavan Dham, that topmost spiritual realm, where life is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So I've been reading those verses rather frequently over the last few days, so I thought today I would read some little bit different verses from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, prayers by the demigods, and it describes the actual appearance of Krishna, the actual event itself. And it's very interesting how Krishna appeared, the circumstances under which he appeared, or we should really say, how he arranged his own appearance. So let's read here, starting with text 16. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankara aviveshangsha bhagena mana anakadundube. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudev in full opulence. That's the beginning of the description. I'll just carry on for a few more verses, and then we can just consider a little bit the extraordinary circumstances, the extraordinary superhuman arrangements which were there for Krishna's appearance. Sabhabrat Purusham Dhamma Brajmano Yataravi Durasado Tidur Darsho Bhutanam Sambhubhuvaha. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudev bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence, and thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable, even for such formidable men as Kamsa. And not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Well, just a couple of points here. First of all, Vasudev, perhaps you're all well aware of these things, but just for the sake of anyone who might not be, Vasudev is the father of Krishna. So Krishna is about to make his own appearance. He is engineering his own appearance, actually. So, first of all, he has entered the mind of his father. And then, when he is present there within the mind of Vasudeva, his presence within Vasudeva made Vasudeva himself very extraordinary. As we heard, Vasudeva became effulgent, overwhelmingly effulgent, because Krishna was there within his mind. Okay. Tato jagan mangalam achutam sam samahitam surasutena devi dadara sarvatmakam atmadubhutam kashtayatanda karam manasata. Thereafter, accompanied by his many expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, who of course is the mother of Krishna. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness of everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the East becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Isn't it a beautiful description? Very, very nice. So I'll just read a couple more translations. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world. for the benefit of human society. So she was, so to speak, cramped up by that situation because she was under arrest. She was in the jail of Kamsa, who was her brother, or literally her cousin brother. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere in the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure and smiling, Kamsa thought, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant. Kamsa thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam, will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister. And moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. A person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living. For while he is living, or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person, in the bodily concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andhatama. So there are many, many verses we could read. It's all very interesting. And in a little while, Krishna actually appears. But let us just consider, as we were saying, the circumstances. Krishna, after all, we did refer to that verse from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva deham punar janma naiti mameti surjana. So Krishna is saying there, anyone who understands, in truth, tatvataha, in truth, that my janma and karma, my birth and activities, are divine, transcendental, then punar janma na. Punar means another or again. Janma, of course, means birth. Punar janma na. Such a person will not take another birth in this world, but mam eti will come to me. So here, this is actually Shukadev Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is explaining exactly the special conditions that were there, which actually made Krishna's birth divyam, or divine. In other words, he's helping us to fulfill the requirement, at least one of the requirements, which Krishna himself has mentioned in that verse in Bhagavad Gita that we just quoted now a second time. We need to understand how his janma, his birth, is divine. And how is karma also. But the janma, that is half of it. So this is the way. You might be aware that, and in fact it is described in the verses immediately before where I started reading, how just before Krishna entered the mind of his father, Vasudeva, just before that, and I mean like the day before, up until a day before, Devaki had been pregnant with another child, not Krishna. Krishna was the eighth. This was now the seventh. just the day before. But by the arrangement of Krishna, it's a little bit of a long story, which is described in those preceding verses, but by Krishna's arrangement, that child was transferred to the womb of Rohini. Vasudev, who we have already read a little bit about, the father of Krishna, he was locked up there in the prison of Kamsa with his wife, Devaki. She was not his only wife. Vasudev had 16 wives. He was under arrest with one of them. I can see you ladies smiling. And you're thinking, what would it be like? I guess some or most or maybe all of you are married. So you know about these things a bit. But to be, you know, imagine being wife number 13. Somewhere in the middle there. Well, believe it or not, none of those wives were feeling uncomfortable or unhappy that, you know, I'm just a member of some faceless crowd here. My husband, you know, what sort of relationship do I have with him? Actually, they were very happy and satisfied. In fact, Krishna, you may know, Krishna had 16,000 wives. 16,108, my gosh. But he expanded himself to be with each wife simultaneously, all the time, 24 hours a day. Narada Muni, great traveling saintly person, he heard about that. So there is one chapter out of the 90 in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Narada Muni visits Dwaraka to see all this, how it is working. And he went to one house of Krishna, and there was Krishna, so they met and certain things happened. He went to the second house, not house, but palace actually, and there was Krishna again. And in that second house, when Narada walked in, Krishna said, "Oh, Narada, how wonderful, you've come to visit me." Like he had no idea that Narada had just seen him in the house right next door. And then he went to a third and fourth and all around. And every time Krishna said, "Oh, Narada, how wonderful." Yes. So anyway, just for the record, we could inform you, all of you, and particularly the ladies, that in Shastra, in the scriptures, it is pointed out that in this Kali Yuga, this age we're in now, this Iron Age, when conditions are not so nice, and people are not so nice, or at least a lot of people are not so nice, and we see that, it's very difficult. A lot of distress, anxiety, a lot of crime, and so on and so forth. So in scripture it is said that in this Kali Yuga, any man who can look after in all the different ways which are required for a husband to look after his wife. One wife. One. Any husband who can look after one wife to the point that she is quite happy in all respects, no real complaints, he will be considered expert. Very expert. So ladies, we won't ask you how your husbands are doing, but you can just think about that. Vasudev had 16 wives. He was arrested with Devaki, who was the cousin sister. His father and Devaki, her mother, were brother and sister. Yeah. Kamsa's father and Devaki's mother were brother and sister. So, there was, on the wedding day of Vasudeva and Devaki, there was an omen spoken from the sky. Tecumseh, you fool. Don't you know that the eighth child, and it was male child, the eighth child will kill you. So Kamsa was immediately about to decapitate his sister on the spot. But Vasudeva spoke to him very diplomatically, and Kamsa relented. But then, not long after, he had them arrested. But the other 15 wives, they went to the place of one of their close relatives, Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Yashoda, in Vrindavan, Gokula, just across the river, the Yamuna River, from Mathura, which is where Vasudeva and Devaki were in prison. So we were talking about that previous pregnancy, which had just been the day, or maybe 2 days before. Suddenly it was terminated, an apparent miscarriage. But actually, the embryo, or the child, was transferred to another one of those wives who happened to be at that place, Gokula, across the Yamuna River, where at the place of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So that other wife was Rohini. And then immediately, like within 24 hours, suddenly she became pregnant. This child just was there within her womb. Within 24 hours, she gave birth to the seventh child, the seventh child of Vasudev. That was Balaram. Balaram, Krishna's brother, who, if you're familiar with the pastimes of Krishna, you would know that he, Krishna and Balaram, they were very, very close. And it's just practically all the chapters of this 10th canto, with Krishna doing all his pastimes in Vrindavan, then in Mathura, then he goes to Dwarka. Balaram is there all the time, constantly. They're constant companions. So he's the older brother. But it was a matter of days, because as soon as the apparent miscarriage occurred, actually it was that transfer of Balaram to the womb of Rohini, then immediately means within 1 or 2 days what we read about occurred. The appearance day of Lord Balaram we celebrated on Friday. Just this Friday past. Yeah. So then, within a day or two, Krishna entered the mind of Vasudeva. Now we all know the reproductive process, how it works. It takes 9 or 10 months, and there are various, different phases and different things which happen. So we all know about that. But here, see the difference. Krishna manifested himself in the mind of Vasudeva. Then he transferred himself into the mind of Devaki. Then he transferred himself from her mind into her womb. And although we didn't read about it, it's there, some verses later on in the same, or actually the next chapter. Then, a few days later, we're not talking about 9 or 10 months later, a few days later, he stepped out. Literally, stepped out. Not in the normal way that a child is born. This all happened. All happened in between the time of the appearance of Balaram, which was on Friday, this Friday just now passed, And this coming Saturday, Sunday, is the actual Ashtami, the eighth day of the moon, the Janmashtami. So it's 8 days. Balaram appeared on the Purnima, the full moon day. Krishna appeared on the following Ashtami, the eighth day of the next moon. So all these things happened in 8 days. Therefore, Krishna himself says, Janma karma chame divyam, that my janma is divine. We never heard of any child appearing in that way. You know, what to speak of from one mind to another by the child's own arrangement, not the parents' arrangement. What to speak of that, but what about 8 days for the whole thing? And when he appeared, he was not, you know, the normal tiny little infant who's like, you know, totally helpless. He appeared as a child, you know, a somewhat developed child, fully dressed, with ornaments, earrings, necklaces, bangles, so on and so forth. And they were not plastic from Taiwan either. They were solid gold and jewels. This is how he appeared. So he says, my janma is divyam. It is divine. Yeah. So we never heard of 8 days. We never heard of 8 days for a birth. We never heard of a child coming out fully dressed and so on and so forth. And then on top of that, he just stood up and started talking to his parents. You know, it normally takes a year or 18 months or 14 or some months, whatever it may be, isn't it? Then you get a few sort of mamas and papas and rudimentary features of speech. He started speaking the most elevated philosophy in perfect Sanskrit, not Hindi, which is sort of a kitchen's Sanskrit or something like that, but pure Sanskrit. Vedic Sanskrit. Yes, different things like this. So, therefore Krishna himself says that my appearance and what to speak of his activities, they are divyam, they are divine, they are transcendental, or beyond. Transcendental implies just beyond the ordinary material realm and the way it works. Everything we are familiar with in this world. So anyway, as usual, we're running out of time, and we don't want to keep you from your important work. But there's a little food for thought. It's quite a bit of food for thought, actually. If you can digest this, you will have practically made it. I mean, spiritually, yes. You will have really come a long way. A long way. So why don't you meditate on that for today? Yes, how Krishna's appearance was divine. Yes. And just consider this little connected, related point also, that as we read how when Krishna was within the mind of Vasudeva initially, then Vasudeva, carrying the Lord within his mind, within his heart, within himself, Vasudeva became effulgent, not through some sort of special ability of his own or something like that, but because of Krishna's presence. So, normally, what do we carry within our mind? Well, it depends, of course, but, you know, a lot of people, or perhaps the great majority, they are carrying many things or thoughts of just ordinary things. Money, politics, my work, my family, the weather, my health, so on and so forth. This is what they're carrying within their minds. These are very ordinary things. So normally when you look at ordinary people, they look pretty ordinary. Or even, like you can see sometimes, if someone is distressed. But if we are carrying Krishna, as Vasudeva was doing, in a certain sense, but if we are carrying Krishna within our minds, then we will also, that will be reflected in us and in our lives. And it'll be very nice. We will be tremendously benefited by the presence of the Supreme Lord within our hearts and within our minds. So that we should try and do. That we can do by chanting Hare Krishna. We can do it in so many ways, but that is a very easy and important way. You don't have to be a big philosopher. You don't have to learn all these books and all the details of what Krishna did, because it's a big thing. But you can just chant Hare Krishna. Even a child can do that. And then you'll be carrying the Lord within your mind and heart. But why don't you think about that? How Krishna appeared. How extraordinary it is. Unique. Quite unique. How Krishna appeared within 8 days by his own arrangement. From the mind of the father to the mother, then to her womb. Then he just stepped out. Fully dressed, ornamented, and started explaining to them the Vedic philosophical principles of the soul. And then told Vasudeva, now you take me across the river. Anyway, it's a long story. But then Vasudeva did take him across.
Yeah.
Grace, Ace, and Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki.